All right. I am here with my main man, Justin, a longtime, lifelong wrestling fan. We have been to some wrestling shows together. We have randomly run into each other at some wrestling shows. So what's going on, Justin? How are you doing today?
Doing good, man. Just working, being an essential worker in this crazy time, and watching as much wrestling as I can in between that. How about you?
Same thing. Teaching during the day, and then trying to run this at night. I think watching wrestling is pretty essential. I'm glad that we have been getting some wrestling shows. With all, everything else is canceled, so it's pretty crazy. So typically we're gonna dive into, and we're gonna focus this show on the Undertaker, who is hot as can be after that amazing Boneyard match. We'll get into that in a second. But typically, I like to start each show by talking about something that you've enjoyed. I like being a little positive on the show, if possible. So what is something that you enjoyed over the last week or two? And if you want to focus on WrestleMania, that's fine. Tell me a little bit of something that you really liked. It could be a match, a segment, anything you want in the world of wrestling.
I mean, there was a lot of great stuff to take away from WrestleMania. One of the matches, I know it got a lot of love, but I think everything got kind of overshadowed by the Boneyard match and the Bray Wyatt match. But I thought that the Kevin Owens-Seth Rollins match was top-tier stuff. I mean, that was like a classic Mania matchup, but also like they really delivered match wise like that's what you get into WrestleMania for. That's the caliber match that you want to see, and I thought that they really delivered. I loved it.
Absolutely. What did you think of the disqualification and the restart in the middle, though? Did you think that was necessary?
I didn't. I thought it was a little wonky, but these days in WWE, you kind of got to just take that stuff, They got to gimmick their matches up the way they got to do them. I thought it was completely unnecessary, but they got them out of the ring for long enough to, I guess, I don't even know if they set up that huge spot right there, but it was, they got them out of the ring, I guess. I didn't really see the point of it, but it was fun. Overall.
That was a good one. That was really good. I enjoyed that very much. All right, so we were talking about the Boneyard match. We talked about Undertaker. He's doing, like, that match has the potential, and if he can do more things like that, I would say extending his career. Now, he is currently 25-2 at WrestleMania. He's synonymous with WrestleMania. And, you know, obviously, we're gonna start a little bit talking about his streak. The first several of his matches, I don't think they intentionally, from what I've read and heard, like, you know, it wasn't like, let's start out by doing a streak with this guy. Let's give this guy a WrestleMania streak. It just kind of started to fall into place. And it wasn't really until he got to like 9 and 10 when it really became a thing. So we'll start talking about some of those matches. His ninth win was his first match with Triple H. Do you remember that one?
Houston? That was awesome. They brawled into the crowd, and Triple H took the huge bump way out, and like it was off of the announcer table or something they had set up out in the middle of the audience.
And while the focus of that match wasn't on the streak, that was during Triple H's heyday. So there was a real as a fan, you really thought Triple H had a great shot at beating him. And I think that was the first of his matches, his WrestleMania matches, though, that really like started this run of excellent WrestleMania matches. Before that, he fought the Big Boss Man. He fought Kane the first time, Psycho Sid, Diesel,
matches.
They were fine. They were fine matches. So the 9 was Triple H. Now his 10th one was a bloody battle against Ric Flair.
Ric Flair, that's one of my big underrated, that's one of my favorite Taker Mania matches. The build to it where he beat up his kid and all of that. It was just so believable for me as like, what was it, 2001, 2002, whatever age I was at. I was like, oh man, they must hate each other for years. I'm so invested, but I really loved that match.
No, yeah, that was another one. Like you said, yeah, back to back. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, like you said, the build was phenomenal. Like they really like, you know, made Ric Flair really made him want to have that match. And
right.
it excelled. And so that put him at double digits. The next year was was probably his weakest one of the.
That was the Big Show and Albert.
Yeah, Big Show and A-Train.
Man.
It was supposed to be
a squash match, wasn't it?
It was supposed to be a tag team. He was fighting two guys. It was supposed to be a tag team match.
Nathan Jones.
With good old Nathan Jones, who did come out and give an assist at the end. You know, that was at WrestleMania 19. And that was the last one where he was the American Badass character, his motorcycle character. He got hurt, you know, quote unquote hurt shortly thereafter, which gave him some time off to try and grow his hair out a little bit.
Right.
And then that set up. So what did you think of his run as the American Badass? Where do you stand on that?
I was a huge fan of it. I loved it. It was like right in my, like I've watched wrestling since I was really little, but the time in my life where I really like took hold for me was that era of, I guess it was like just post attitude era, like Ruthless Aggression era. That was really my bread and butter stuff. So when Brothers of Destruction and all of that, that's like some of my favorite Taker memories is that whole epic era. And I loved the feud with him and, who just said it, Ric Flair, that WrestleMania match. I loved that. And then he wrestled Hogan during that era. He beat Hogan for the title, maybe.
Beat Hogan for the title, yeah.
He had some epic, just epic stuff. He wrestled Brock Lesnar a few times, I want to say, just like maybe even random Raw matches. He had that match with Jeff Hardy. He had a sick match with RVD.
Kurt Angle.
Angle, yeah. He had a match with... It was a triple threat. I want to say it was The Rock, Kurt Angle, and The Undertaker for the title as Armageddon or something like that.
Oh yes,
Vengeance. One of those pay per views.
Oh, that was really one of the most underrated times in wrestling history. That you had so many guys that were just in their prime, entering their prime.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was a real good time, and I enjoyed it. It was a nice break. He'll always be the dead man. That's what he'll always be known for. But it was a nice break, and it looks like, and we'll get into it, looks like we might be getting a little bit of a revival of that character.
I'm not mad about it.
And so after that, you know, that he went to 11-0, and then he came back as the dead man at WrestleMania 20, fighting Kane for the second time.
Quick. It wasn't a very long match, I remember.
No, I think this is when we started getting to where his entrances were more of the focus. I remember that entrance being like super duper long because he had been teasing for a while, for weeks or months leading up to it, like little teases of the dead man coming back. And there was no suspense in that match either. So we had back to back years where there really was no, like, he wasn't coming back and losing to Kane in his first match back as the dead man. So that was an easy 12-0. Then the following year is when we finally had a real chance of this streak ending, going against, at that time, the legend killer, Randy Orton. So Randy Orton was a star, you know, a star in the making. Like it was clear that he had it. He had this gimmick. And if there was anybody at that time, at that age level, that, you know, Undertaker would have considered dropping a match to at WrestleMania, I thought it could have been him. Do you remember that match? What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, that was an epic match. He had a really athletic run as the biker Undertaker, and then when he came back, especially in the Kane match, I had the thought of, like, does he still have it? Is he still going to be delivering in these epic matches? And I thought the Randy Orton match, he looked good. You know, he looked like we were going to still get some legitimate matches, WrestleMania matches out of him. He wasn't just going to come back and squash guys.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, he wrestled for a good little while that year, right? He didn't just one one and done at Mania?
No. There was quite a few year period where he was pretty much wrestling every week. Putting together some really good rivalries with some people. All right. So the following year, going for 14-0 was against Mark Henry in a casket match. Another match with little suspense. It was a fine match for what it was. I don't think any of us actually thought Mark Henry had a shot in that match.
No.
It wouldn't have been necessary. And then the next two, 15 and 16. So as great as Undertaker is and as much of a legend as he is, he has surprisingly, and for as long as he's been around, he has surprisingly had the world title a lot less than many other wrestlers in that era.
Yeah.
But going for 15 and 16, he was in the title match. First up against Batista at WrestleMania 23 and at Ford Field in Michigan. That right there, you know, for the title against Batista, again, same thing. Batista, like, that someone you believe could have believably thought he would be willing to lose that match too. I remember
being
a pretty good
time,
a pretty good solid, you know, hard hitting match between those two, if I recall.
Yeah, that's the main thing I remember, is that they beat the crap out of each other, like really a lot of stiff shots where you were like, oh man, this is getting serious.
And then
Undertaker's, he's always blasting guys, but that match was especially rough hitting, you know. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Absolutely. And then, you know, then he won the world championship. And then the next year against Edge, I don't think they did enough of a job playing up, but at that time, Edge had his own little streak going. He was like 6-7-0 at WrestleMania. And I don't think they did enough playing up on it, but it was the main event at WrestleMania in Orlando at the Citrus Bowl, again, for the world title. So it was nice giving Undertaker that moment where he was the last guy. He was, you know, had the title in his hand. The fireworks were going off. But yeah, it was, you know, so back-to-back years where they really solidified him. I think that match gets overshadowed because that was the Ric Flair HBK retirement match.
On Michaels. So
that's what people remember of that WrestleMania instead of, you know, again, Undertaker winning the title. But, you know, what are your thoughts on that one?
I loved that match. I actually watched it last Saturday in the morning before WrestleMania, just, you know, watching some of the old matches get ready. But it's a classic, and if you remember the run of matches that him and Edge had that year, I don't know if they were all leading up to him or if that's what started and they had more, but they had their Hell in a Cell match that they had was one of the best Hell in a Cell matches ever. They did every insane thing that you can do in a Hell in a Cell without throwing somebody off the top rope in that one. It's just one of the ones. The Undertaker feud was just incredible hardcore match after incredible hardcore match. Just pulling out more and more stops. And I had a lot of fun with it. I want to say they wrestled like Survivor Series or SummerSlam, another big one that year. But yeah, the WrestleMania match was great. I watched it the other day. It was just like, man, I forgot how good this was. And Undertaker, like, he really had a match.
I love how we all have this like routine. I don't know. It sounds like you do too. Like, you know, during WrestleMania season where you start like flashing back and watching some of these old matches, like, you know, some of your personal favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe certain matches you attended, certain matches that just mean a lot to you. I love that. And I feel like we should all make a list of like what those five matches were and see how those lists differ from one person to the next.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
All right. So up next we had the run where he had four years in a row, two against Shawn Michaels, two against Triple H, and the two against Shawn Michaels are widely considered to be two of the best WrestleMania matches of all time. It's rare for both of these guys were, you know, getting towards the end of their careers, or at least Michaels was, and then Undertaker was getting up there in age. But for these guys to put on the show that they did, especially that first one, and you really, again, like, Shawn Michaels has always had a little bit of an ego, always had a little bit of a, you know, he wants to be in the big match. He wants to win the big match. So it was very, very believable that he was going to win that first time around. And I think that suspense is what also added to that match being like, yeah, an all-time great, great match. What are your thoughts on that one? And do you have a preference between the first one or the second one of those two?
They're both two of my all-time favorites. My preference is 25. I mean, if I had to choose one match to say, what do I think is the best wrestling match ever, I'd probably go with that match. Okay, 26. Yeah. I wasn't ready to believe that Shawn was done at 26, so I really thought that he was going to win that and not retire. Like, I was not going to believe that Shawn Michaels was done wrestling. And, I think emotionally 26 hurt me a lot. And I just wasn't ready for Shawn to be gone, you know? So that one I have, like, a really strong emotional connection to. But 25, I think, is maybe the most flawless, perfect match I've ever seen ever. The only other one that I could put with it is HK versus Kurt Angle.
Oh, I watched that. That's one of the routines.
21. I love that's a match.
Oh, that's amazing. I really thought Michaels had him the next year. I didn't know that Michaels was done. I really thought like that he wasn't going to let him beat him twice in a row. I thought the whole idea of putting his career on the line was making us, you know, really believe that he had a good shot of winning that match. But for them to do what they did back to back years, it's just amazing. It shows why those are two of the best of all time. Following year, he went for number 19, in his second match against Triple H. And I think that one was a good match as well, but I don't think it was nearly as good as their end of an era, quote unquote, Hell in a Cell match the following year when, you know, in Miami, with Shawn Michaels as the guest referee. It was end of an era. It was like, it almost seemed like they were setting it up to say like, all right, Triple H is going to win this match. We're going to end this streak. Yeah. These three guys are all going to go away. And it is what it is. And then there was that one spot in the middle of the match where, you know, Shawn Michaels was doing a decent job being an impartial referee, but at one point he super kicked Taker, who went right into a pedigree and they went right down for a pin. And you like, we all thought that was it. And Taker got up, and it was unbelievable. So I think of the three Triple H matches, I think that was my favorite of their three.
Yeah, hands down.
I think that was really good. And again, now this has been a handful of years where they really started emphasizing the streak. Like it was part of the storyline. It was a big deal. Mm-hmm. It was no longer able to just fight like, you know, no name people. It was like it was a huge deal. It was an honor to be given a WrestleMania match against him. And so now we're down to the last one before the streak ended, 21 against CM Punk. Now I remember you being a pretty big CM Punk guy. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. He's one of my all-time favorites. This match, one of my all-time favorites. The build to this match was, I mean, over the line at a bunch of different times. I felt like being a CM Punk was hard during the build up to that match because of the whole Paul Bearer and having the urn, pulling the ashes out and all that stuff. It was like, oh man, this is like too dusty for me to even do before. So hard, diehard CM Punk fan going. That match, I knew CM Punk was going to lose, but I wanted him to lose. Go to the Undertaker in that match because I was like, this guy's such a dick. He poured the man's ashes out onto his best friend's animal. But yeah, that match had me all riled up, and I loved it every second of it. And it was, I think, Taker's last WrestleMania classic this year.
All right. So before we get to the next year against Brock Lesnar, if you had to pick one of those matches, those first 21, for him to have lost instead of losing against Brock Lesnar, which one would you have picked to have him lose at?
Oh, man, easily 26, because it would have prolonged the career of Shawn Michaels. But also, to me, if Shawn Michaels is the wrestler ever, I think he's number one of all time in my book as far as in the ring. If you're going to have a loss at all, I mean, it'd have to be to him or Ric Flair, because they're the two best. If you're going to have a loss at all, why not have a loss to the best ever, you know?
All right, and then I'm going to throw one more question out there before we get to Lesnar. So you said you thought that was his last of his real classic matches. What wrestler of that era, or of any, I mean, I guess any era that he was in, did he miss out on having a WrestleMania match with? Like, if you could have like maybe taken out one of the Triple H matches, or maybe the Mark Henry casket match, or something, like, which wrestler do you think he missed having a potential classic WrestleMania match with?
I mean, the big one was always going to be, but he wasn't really around at the time. But guys who were there, I would have loved to have seen Stone Cold and him at WrestleMania. I would have loved to seen The Rock and him at WrestleMania. Hogan, when Hogan was still heel. Yeah. You know, those guys were WrestleMania at that point in time. And the fact that neither one of them ever wrestled here at WrestleMania, that's kind of seems like we missed out.
Also, it really does.
Yeah, and then another unsung WrestleMania hero of that era is Kurt Angle.
Yes,
and
that would
to me,
that.
Stone Cold and Undertaker had a bunch of matches. None of them, to me, are like really classics. But any time that Undertaker and Kurt Angle were in the ring together, even if it was just a match on SmackDown, they were in there for a few minutes. Man, it was magic. They just worked so well together, and every time they fought, I loved it and just thought it was really, really believable. And he threw Kurt Angle around. Nobody's business, and Kurt could give it back to him. It was just wild to see, you know?
Absolutely. Kurt Angle was my first instinct. I am amazed how they never were able to cross paths with The Rock and Stone Cold at Mania. You know, with them being as big as they
seems
were,
like that'd be so much money there.
But yeah, no, Kurt Angle, was one. And then, you know, we'll talk about him and John Cena in their quote unquote match. But that was another one that in that time period, like, I don't know if they just like, if you would have put John Cena in his prime against Taker, I don't think there would have been any more of a believable person to end a streak.
Yeah.
And that would have really, again, also sold that. So I am very surprised that those two, that just didn't happen in that time. All right. So finally, we're getting to WrestleMania 30. We're getting to the Brock Lesnar match. I have gone on record on numerous occasions as far as saying I hated it. I despised it.
Yeah.
I am not a Brock Lesnar guy. I think he is given far too much for what he is what he does. Like, I don't think he has earned that right to end the streak. I don't think he's earned the right to be his champ as much as he is. So yeah, I was shocked. I think everybody was shocked. I think me and my brother joked about how we could, like, you know, you could bet online at that time for WrestleMania matches. We joked about the idea of, like, putting our houses up for sale and betting that our houses were, because at the time Brock was still like part-timer and not really wrestling a lot. And he wasn't like, you know, it almost seemed like he had no shot. So, what were your thoughts, after that match?
I was with your brother, Dave.
Uh-oh. I lost Justin. Oh, you cut out for a second. The technology is only great when it works. So yeah, we're talking about the streak. We'll see if we can get Justin back on there. See if let's see, he's trying to get back on. Yeah, I was disappointed. Had to stream. He's coming. He's coming. It didn't need to happen at the time. You could argue that that win is what propelled Brock Lesnar to, you know, to his run that he's had over the last bunch of years. You know, so it is, you know, it is what it is. It's unfortunate that that match was so decisive. I think that if that streak was going to end, it should have ended with, you know, like, because it was such, it's just such a big thing. It's such a big moment. It should go down in history as ending with somebody who deserves to have that. You know, so that's, hey, you're back on.
Yo. There we are.
Yo. All right. Hey, it happens. Technology happens.
It happens. There we are.
So I just kept rolling. And my thought was that with the streak being as big of a deal as it was, like the person that ended that streak should, it should be like, it should go down in history with them as they're the guy that ended that streak. And I don't think Brock Lesnar is the one that needed that, deserved that, should have that honor. You know, it's a tough thing. You know, you mentioned giving it, if you could have picked one of those first 21, maybe giving it to Shawn Michaels. You know, that would have been understandable. You know, because he was always going to go down in history as a, you know, a WWE guy. Many of us thought that CM Punk could have been the guy. But look what happened now. Like CM Punk, you know, that's not a pleasant topic for many WWE, you know, executives and Vince himself.
Right.
So that was always going to be a thing that, you know, was going to be very difficult for them to end. It was such a big deal. You had to be very careful about who you gave it to. And like I was saying before you got back on, you know, maybe it was what helped propel Brock to this run that he's having. You know, now that he was the one to end the streak, you're supposed to take him as being believable enough to do whatever it is he's doing now and beat everybody and dismantle everything and never lose. But if you had a choice, you know, what would you have done with the streak? Would you have it still going to this day? Would you have somebody else have beaten him at some point in the last few years? Or would you have him retire with it, or would you wait until that is his last match and have him lose in his last match? What are your thoughts on that?
Either, you know, still going to this day is what, where my heart leads me to, because if Taker needs to put somebody over that bad, like we can do it at SummerSlam, Survivor Series. They always, you know, want to bring him back for Survivor Series because it's when he debuted and all that. You know, let him put somebody over there. The streak was so special just for fans. You know what I mean? Everybody always talks about his entrance and how epic the entrance was. The post-match pyro show when they lit up the streak number on the screen, like that, I lived for that. And the creepy pose with the tongue and the whole nine, it was incredible. And, you know, now we don't ever really get it anymore. And if he was ever going to lose, I think retirement match, obviously 35 years from now. But, you know, there was no point. Brock didn't need it. It didn't really do anything for him. Like, Paul Heyman used it in promos and probably still mentions it from time to time, but it didn't really do anything. It didn't make anyone like him anymore, or hate him anymore, maybe hate him more.
Yeah, but, no, definitely hate him more.
But it just wasn't worth it.
and it's funny. So you jokingly said, you know, 35 years from now he might retire. It's funny because, you know, so many people are like, oh, he needs to hang it up. He needs to be done. And my 5-year old, like, that's his favorite wrestler. Like, he doesn't know that he's 50 something years old. He doesn't know that his matches, you know, 10 years ago were better than his matches today. He knows that this character on the TV screen is cool. He's enjoyable. Yeah. He's tough. He's scary. He's got this, you know, just epic, you know, thing about him. So for me, I'm fine with him going as long as he can go, because at some point he won't be, and we're going to miss him. Like, yeah, if, you know, if it is 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, like, you know what, that's more, I'd rather have those Undertaker matches than not have them at all. My thoughts on it. What about you? I mean, would you be comfortable keeping him around for another decade or more?
I definitely think that with the success of the Boneyard match and how the reaction was to that online, it was pretty much, I didn't really see anything negative about it at all, you know? And I thought it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my whole life of watching wrestling. And I really loved it. It had a lot of shades of Matt Hardy's, you know, his broken stuff. I got like that flavor from it. And then I guess the guy who produced or directed all Matt Hardy's stuff also worked on this, Jeremy Borash. So I think they've got, you know, Kevin Dunn, Jeremy Borash, and these creative guys who can do these cool cinematic style matches. And obviously Undertaker, I mean, I'm sure he could get himself into great shape and have a couple more sick WrestleMania matches, but it seems like that has been hard on him over the years. So if he can not work his body into the ground as bad and have these awesome cinematic matches, I say go for it. And you know, WWE, man, if they wanted this thing to live in infamy forever, they would never do another one. But that's not WWE. It did well, so we're going to see Boneyard matches for years and years to come, or, you know, some variation of that. And I hope they let it stick around and they use him in some sort of capacity where they can make it. He was so badass in that Boneyard match, and I couldn't look away for a second. I thought the whole thing was really cool. If they keep doing that, yeah, man, keep him around till they actually bury him. You know, he'll sign a contract with Vince to televise that.
Oh, yeah, that would be that'd be pretty interesting and epic. All right.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the actual retirement of the Undertaker, at some point it's going to come, and I'm not advocating for it to happen anytime soon, but. When I was trying to think about this, and I thought about the last three major retirement matches that we've had. Now, a lot of guys have come and gone, and a lot of them have quietly retired. Like, we didn't know Stone Cold was done. We didn't know. We assume The Rock is done. We didn't really know he was done. Maybe John Cena's done. Maybe Goldberg's done. We don't really know. So the last three retirement matches that I can really think of are Ric Flair losing to Shawn Michaels, Shawn Michaels losing to Undertaker, and then sadly, Kurt Angle losing to Baron Corbin. So those are the three that were truly advertised legends in retirement, you know, type scenarios. Now, two of them were two established all-time greats, and then the Kurt Angle one was designed to give Baron Corbin that little rub, that little push, you know, I think many of us wanted it to be against John Cena. I think that was that was the hot plan that most people seem to want. But I don't know if it was his idea, the company's idea, where the idea came from. Kurt Angle seemed to kind of bring it off as his idea. Like, I wanted to give this to somebody. I wanted to give this match to somebody that needs it to help establish them. So I'm going to give you a list. I made a list of four guys I think have potential possibilities, and four guys that I think WWE might be teased to do the retirement match with. And who I think are terrible ideas. And so we'll kind of jump back and forth. You can give me your thoughts, whether you agree or disagree. And then after I give you mine, if there's anybody else that you think of that wasn't on that list, you can go ahead. All right. So the first one that I think could be a possibility is Braun Strowman. Now, he was as hot as could be for a couple of years. Then they really did him a disservice for a while. They've given him the Universal title through the fact that Roman Reigns wasn't there, but he really should be this massive, giant, dominating force. And if they continue keeping him at the top of the card, he's somebody that I think, you know, Undertaker's always liked working with big guys. He's somebody that I think could be in, not my top choice, but he's just somebody I think could be in there. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it wouldn't be terrible. I really think that they, you know, they did him dirty. He had that run a few years back where it was so obvious that they should put the title on him, and then they never did. And it feels like he's been kind of stagnant since. And the whole winning the title at Mania, it just really feels like he is a placeholder champion until Roman Reigns is back.
That's true. I'm hoping they don't make that mistake, though. I'm hoping they, you know, give him this a little bit of a run, and then just keep him near the card, because that's where he should be. All right. Jumping to the other side of the list, I'm hoping that they don't do something silly like give Baron Corbin another retirement shot. Are you in agreement with me on that?
I'm 100% agreement, and I couldn't have been more bummed about the Kurt Angle retirement match. And I mean, if not Cena, somebody, Randy Orton, somebody, Jeff Hardy, like Baron Corbin's going to retire the Olympic legend, one of the greatest first ballot Hall of Famers of all time. Like, I just, that was bad wrestling. Yeah.
No, I agree. All right. Someone else who I've talked a lot about recently that I think could be, because they seem to be building this person up, but they just haven't given him that spot yet, is Aleister Black. I think he is such a cool character. I think he's very good in the ring. They've protected him. He's been pinned one time in the last year and a half. So they clearly do have plans for him. They just haven't kind of pulled the trigger on him yet. What are your thoughts on him? And like, let's say he continues to be built for the next few years. Cause again, we're talking about potentially a couple of years away. What are your thoughts on someone like him being given that shot?
I love Aleister Black. His whole gimmick is incredible in the ring. He's one of the best things he's still on Raw, if I'm not mistaken, but he is awesome. And he's been awesome since, you know, he was on NXT. I think he's got a bright future, but with guys like him, you wonder if they're going to get the Drew McIntyre treatment, where there were years and years where we thought, well, come on, let's pull the trigger on Drew already. And, you know,
absolutely.
It took us all the way to here. So with guys that are kind of that body style, that, you know, that aggressive wrestling style, I always wonder if Vince really wants to put the title on a guy like that, because he's really hesitant to do it usually.
No, absolutely. And I could see him as being someone in the mold of The Undertaker, where he continues to have his a great character, great matches, great rivalries, and maybe isn't, you know, a many time world champion. I could absolutely see him in some kind of boneyard match type setting, graveyard match setting. Undertaker right at the edge of the hole in the ground, and him giving almost like the Shawn Michaels, I'm sorry, hitting him with the black mass, yeah, and him falling into the grave. Like that to me, that would be something I could see them doing. All right. So Shawn Michaels is generally retired, but how about someone like Triple H? He's somebody on my list who I feel like I could see them wanting to do again and give that like final burial of him, that, you know, fourth time's a charm. And I'd be very much against that idea. What are your thoughts on a fourth battle with Triple H?
Yeah, if they would have done it the third match, the Hell in a Cell with Shawn Michaels and the super kick and all of that, I could have lived with it, because it was, you know, two epic Mania rivalries ganging up on him, and the timing was great and all of that. But no, that'd be ridiculous if Triple H did it. But I mean, you know, Triple H did win the world title and the Royal Rumble like a few years ago, right?
That's true. That's true. All right. Knows? All right. Back on my possibility list is Finn Balor. Like, bring the demon out. I mean, I know he's in NXT right now. He's putting together, you know, he's like kind of gotten away from the demon. He's kind of a bad guy right now. But at some point, like, they still market the demon. They still need, like, it's a great character. It's just, it's this, like, you know, hidden depth of a character that they didn't use enough. Like, I get not wanting to overdo it. I still think it should be used more. But at some point, I get a feeling he'll end up back on one of the main two shows, and maybe he'll turn good and he'll get that. I think he's someone that a younger guy that could get that honor of putting him away. Where do you stand on him?
Yeah, I'd be all for that. I think he's one of the best things they have in the company. And another guy who's been grossly misused, in my opinion. You know, they could have built the company around him 3 or 4 times over. I've always been a big fan of his. And something that's telling to me is that he had that match with Brock as the demon, and it was epic, like an epic match that I thought he was going to win. Like three.
He wasn't the demon against Brock.
He wasn't the demon. I think he wore red trunks.
I think we all, like, from a fake storyline perspective, we as fans couldn't understand, like, why, you know, if you're going up against the Beast, like, why don't you bring the demon out?
Yeah.
And they I think they mentioned it once, like, no, I don't want to do it. I want to beat you man to man. I think that was their way of trying to, like, you know, quell us fans and say, like, you know, because it would make more sense, you know, if that's your best character, yeah. But yeah, no, he.
Just the fact that Brock was willing to have that epic match with him,
and it was
him being such a small guy, and then you see Brock versus Ricochet, and it's, you know, it is what it was. It's like, it makes you think that Finn Balor has the respect of the older veteran guys that Undertaker would let something like that happen. I think it would be, you know, especially the gimmick too, being a demonic gimmick and all that, it goes along with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Now this third one, and it's on my, I don't want to see the, be the retirement match list. And it's probably the one match that so many people are excited for that I am just not, is them finally getting the Undertaker versus Sting match that for some reason has been so wanted. Like, I know Sting is a legend. He's a Hall of Famer. He's great and all. Like, I'm not super excited about the potential of that match as many other people were. I think for the years that they were talking about maybe having it, I think neither one of them would have been able to put together a match that would have lived up to the hype of it. So, you know, I don't know if that would be a good choice either.
I'm totally in agreement with you on that one. That match, you're almost into that match for the entrances. You know, you just want to see some elaborate entrances, some cool stuff. But I think that, you know, both those guys are way, way past their prime. And you kind of, I hate to bring it up, but you kind of see what happens with a Goldberg and an Undertaker when you get, you know, two guys who are past their prime doing it in there. It's better to have, you know, somebody in there be AJ Styles, or somebody in there be Randy Orton, you know, somebody who can kind of carry the match and make up for what's not there. That's, I guess that's the nicest way I can put it, but you know what I'm trying to say.
I know exactly. we all know what you're saying. We get it. Yeah. That was a very positive way of presenting it.
Right.
And then the guy that makes the most sense currently right now to retire him, and a guy who has been making up for all of his past transgressions and losses, is clearly the Fiend, Bray Wyatt. That was the after the year after the streak, Taker fought Wyatt. Like, at that point, you almost could have thought, like, he should have beat Brock and lost to Bray Wyatt. Like this new, there hasn't been a cooler character, a cooler guy who has been able to do what he does on the microphone, draw a crowd with the character as Bray Wyatt. And like, that would have been the thing to put him over. And it sure seems like, you know, he's reinvented himself with this Fiend, which is amazing. Yeah. And he's gone back and tried to avenge, you know, all of these losses. And it certainly, you know, is totally believable, especially from a storyline aspect, to have the Fiend avenge that loss and be the one to retire Undertaker someday. What are your thoughts on that?
That would be awesome. That would be incredible. I thought, I was right there with you when I thought that they could have saved that loss at WrestleMania for Bray Wyatt. I really thought original Bray Wyatt, you know, Hawaiian shirt, Sister Abigail and all that. I thought that guy was one of the coolest heels in the history of the business. I loved everything about him. And the fact that that character fizzled out, I don't blame on him at all. I blame it on WWE and, again, grossly misusing him. And they love to do it to this guy because I was not a fan at all of that Goldberg win. And just the whole, I guess if you're going to have the match that he had at WrestleMania, I don't know how you would make that John Cena Funhouse match for the world title.
Yeah. Oh, no. But
how that would worked out. But still,
I think that's the only reason why people. I think that's the only reason why people aren't still bitter about him losing to Goldberg is because it gave us that Firefly Funhouse match, which if there was ever a way to exceed the Boneyard match from the night before, they found a way to do it.
What I was saying too. I was like, there's no way they're going to top the Boneyard match. I don't know why they'd even try. And then they still corrected.
All right. And then the last guy on my list, and for some reason they, you know, is them giving Brock Lesnar that, like, for some reason they're so in love with this guy. I swear to God, if they decide that Undertaker decides he wants revenge and he goes up against Lesnar and loses again, and that's the end, that's the retirement, I think I will quit. I'll quit wrestling. I'll quit podcasting. Yeah. I will take up a new hobby.
Cancel my subscription.
Cancel the
network.
so that's, those are four guys I thought of. Those are four guys I thought of that could, four guys I thought of that the WWE might be tempted to and shouldn't. Is there anybody that I didn't mention that you think either should be the person that someday gets that retirement rub? Or is there anybody else also that you think the WWE might put in that match that you really think would be a big mistake?
Yeah. Four that I think would be cool. I mean, obviously, the top of the list, I think, would be The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. That's, if anybody's going to do it, it should be him. Another guy, if you want to just, for the history of it and the fact that he's back now, another Taker versus Edge. I feel like Edge could still have a good match with The Undertaker.
That's a good choice.
His match at WrestleMania was very long.
Yeah,
Undertaker wouldn't want to have a match that long.
That was a bit disappointing. I'm not gonna lie.
That was a long. We won't get into that. But yeah, that match was. I was expecting something else, but I think Edge, Bray. It wouldn't really make sense storyline wise, but if you wanted to have like a great match on his way out, Daniel Bryan, I think would be cool. You never saw that I can remember Daniel Bryan locking up with The Undertaker.
No, that'd be a good
match. I feel like they could really pull something off. But I thought that AJ Styles and him had a sick build to their match for what it was. And, you know, during all of these trying times or whatever WWE is calling coronavirus.
Yeah, they very much go out of their way to not mention it. I mean, we all know what's going on in the world. This is not an isolated thing. This is a world issue. We all know what's going on, right. But they really have gone out of their way to not mention that word. But
and that's classic them. They love doing that. But I think AJ Styles would be, you know, somebody who's definitely worthy of retiring The Undertaker. You know, he's one of the all-time greats to me. and the success of the Boneyard match and the way that they worked together, I thought was really, really great.
I know. The only thing that disappointed me about the Boneyard match was I didn't know it was coming. So when I made my WrestleMania picks, the AJ Styles winning was my one upset, like real upset, because Undertaker seems like that guy that would be willing to put over, you know. And I thought if everything was in normal circumstances, I feel like he would have come out as the dead man, maybe lost to AJ Styles, and then they would have like that would have been the thing that pushed him over into being the American Badass. But
right.
it kind of is what it is. The circumstances changed and they decided, I think they just jumped the gun a little bit on it because it worked well with what they were doing. And then, you know,
they're
the moment
afraid to jump the gun on anything. That's their MO over there. Sometimes I feel like they don't mind shooting themselves in the foot.
No, it is. Hey, it is what it is. I mean, they do so much good. I really do on this podcast try and focus on as much of the good. I mean, I'm going to call out and question. I mentioned the Lesnar thing to me was a massive mistake. I didn't like it at all. I will say things that I don't like, but you know, I don't feel like there's any point in coming on here and consistently just bashing it. Cause if there is, then why am I watching it? You know, I typically enjoy
there's plenty of that out there anyway.
There's so much to enjoy. There was so much about WrestleMania weekend I did enjoy. There were a couple of things I didn't. I've mentioned those. I'm going to talk about those on some other shows on a different topic. But that's it. That's our that's our Undertaker biopic, whatever you want to call it. I very much enjoyed having you on here. A little Undertaker WrestleMania rundown. You got anything you want to plug? Any kind of Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, anything you're doing out there? Anything you want to mention before we sign off?
Yeah, you can hit me on Instagram. It's LJS_89. That's pretty much it. I release a little music on there every once in a while. That's about it. Talk about wrestling sometimes. But yeah, man, I'd love to come back on here. This was a lot of fun.
Oh, this was really good. Like I said, this is only I'm still new to this That Guy's Wrestling podcast. I'm working out the kinks. I'm working. Here I am, and I didn't even think about putting all my laundry away behind me. Okay, for those of you that end up watching this on the video end of it, the Fight Bananas typically have this wonderful Fight Bananas background behind them. I'm still working on it, but I'm getting there. But
You got enough awesome wrestling memorabilia in your house. You ought to be able to come up with some sort of cool backdrop. I'm sure you got championship belts laying around.
But as long as you're enjoying the content, that's my priority right now. So yeah, thank you very much for coming on here. I'm definitely plan on having you on here again. This was great. It was great talking to you. It's nice having someone who's very knowledgeable, has been a wrestling fan their whole life, who's able to just like really recall some of these great classic matches. So I appreciate it. Thanks a bunch. And I'm tapping out. Let's do it.
All right, man. Peace out. Too sweet.
Too sweet.
Later, brother.